There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. Telephone number and the text line, the same. That's convenient. 251-343-0106. You can always leave us a message with the FM Talk 106.5 app. You go there on the front page of the app, you'll see the microphone icon. If you'll press that, lets you record a message and then sends it right here and I can play it back on the show. So check that out as well. And all these great stories up on our Facebook page as well. Leanna keeps that popping, so remember to check that out at facebook.com/FMTalk1065. And occasionally I'm popping off at the mouth over at Twitter or X now, at FMTalk1065. All right, let's do this. Here we go. To the text line here at 343-0106. Buddy said, I was just wondering when the population of skunks went up in our area. I was talking about the up in smoke. It's just this question, right? If you pulled up at the stoplight and you were holding your beer can out the window and sipping on it, you would expect that law enforcement would do something about it, right? Mr. Valentine said red light cams increase rear-end collisions and are a rip-off revenue machine. As Texture says, at what point to safety inspecting probable cause allows an officer to step in and make an arrest? We talked about that some last time the sheriff was in, and I know we talked about it with Police Chief Prine. If you can go back and check out those podcasts, they did have a discussion of that. Let's see here. Joshua says, my mother-in-law is from the Panama Canal Zone and later San Juan, Puerto Rico. She said rats and snakes were bad in San Juan because of chickens. It could be the reason for the law or not really a law. I don't know. No, the chicken thing, if you go back, it was, gosh, I don't know how many years ago, but a debate over chickens in the city of Mobile and roosters. Remember, they got in a big discussion of, you're like, I remember city council, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something like, well, you know, chickens are fine, but roosters, they make a big noise in the morning and bother everybody. And those were the days. Remember the good old days when we just debated chickens and chicken ordinances, rooster ordinances in the city of Mobile? Those were the good days, back in the good old days. All right. So Pat says, we actually told Aaliyah they weren't allowed to step foot in our boat, almost went to jail that day. So Pat talking about what Sheriff Birch talked about. He said he's moving that bill through. Well, it wouldn't know if it's moving, but it's been presented that would change that, right? That you would need to show, you know, you get stopped and they do a safety check. We've all, you know, if you're on the water, you've been through it. Here are my life jackets. Here's my throwables. Here's the flares. Here's the horn. You know, here my kill switch is on, all those things. But he's talking about that doesn't then need to happen with them on board. I've been boarded before. I've been boarded in a big offshore boat. I've been boarded, oh my gosh, it was a lifetime ago, duck hunting by federal wardens came coming in fast on us. We were in Little Batty in the Mobile Tensaw Delta and came right in the boat. And one of the federal wardens stayed on the boat. The other one came in. It was something. I think we were like 17, 18 years old. I was pretty scared. Adam says, Sean, am I missing something? But do we have an inordinate number of people traveling to Providence, Rhode Island? Just seems odd that Breeze Airlines is starting a direct flight to there. I can understand D.C., New York, or Chicago. So, Adam, great question. And so I asked my buddy Chris Curry, president of Mobile Airport Association, when they first made this announcement. I said, Chris, man, why Providence? And he got a little gleam in his eye. He said, hey, check out how close it is to Boston. And so I went online while we were talking and looked at it. So that's the deal, Adam. That's why Breeze flies into Providence, Rhode Island. I'm sure there might be some people want to go into Providence, Rhode Island, but it gets you in a quick ride into Boston. It's an efficient way to get people to Boston. So that's why they're going into Providence, Rhode Island. It's like, you know, somebody who was trying to get to Mobile, and let's say we had a super crowded airport and you couldn't get in or whatever, you could fly into Pensacola and come into Mobile. I think it's similar to that. So, Adam, that's why Providence, Rhode Island's on there. Let's see. Damn Yankee says, a lot of smoke you see coming out of a car windows is vaping. Sure. Sure it is. And when I smell whatever, like strawberry shortcake or whatever the heck is flowing, that's one thing. But then when I smell weed, you know, yeah, they're vaping weed. I mean, they're vaping, they can vape different things. A texter said, in Florida, they shorten the duration of yellow lights to raise more revenue. Hey, and that's exactly, texter, you know, when they talked about putting the speed cameras on the 165 connector and all that, remember Pritchard was going to do that to raise revenue. I have a problem with private enterprise in law enforcement. And I know that, you know, it's a tough thing for some strict libertarians out there. But I'll tell you right now, when they, like the private prisons in Louisiana, completely against it. Because you have people lobbying to keep people in prison so that company can make money. The company's doing what it's supposed to do. The company's job is to make money. But when that influence goes into the legislature, right, they change laws to help the company make more money. Laws should be about public safety, not about revenue. And I'm a guy that's all about the free market and revenue, except for things like that and a few others. So, yeah, absolutely. There's a perverse incentive to not pay attention to public safety and pay attention to profit when you get the private sector in, when it's things like red light cameras, speeding cameras, those kind of things. Let's see. What? So, Susanna, are you checking me? She said, it's Tuesday after the eclipse. Why are you doing a rerun? Miss you and the sheriff. Need your program after surgery. Maybe we'll get back on track ASAP. Hope you're well. I am well, but it's not a rerun. Although it'd be funny if this ever runs as a rerun, and I'm saying it's not a rerun. Thomas says, please explain to me how red light cameras are bad. I have watched hundreds and hundreds of people running red lights. Now, it's a moneymaker. If you don't run it, you will not get a ticket. That's Thomas from Irvington. Thomas, the old argument always made is, are you sure it's you and your car? What if somebody, because it's not getting you, it's getting the plate of the car. Right? I mean, go down to, and this, I have some opinions here that don't, this is why I'm not it's what puts me more at a libertarian camp. I am a supporter of law enforcement through and through, but I'm also a defender of civil liberties. It's a thing that puts me at odds with friends of mine in the world of law enforcement, that I am against civil asset forfeiture. And I understand that 98% of the time, law enforcement is completely on the right when they seize these assets that were made illegal. But the 2%, I think you should have the right to ride around the country with $500,000 in cash in your trunk and not have to tell anybody why you have it. I do, even though the majority of those people are criminals, but I'm locked in still on this silly thing of individual liberty, and I'll stick with it. Thomas comes, this is somebody responding to Thomas, said I've been, or is this another Thomas? I've been pulled over by state troopers in the creeks of Satsuma. The fact that any government thinks they own the water, whether boating or fishing, it's crazy, but whatever brings in the revenue, right? Thomas, you have to be proven guilty before being accused. It's the laws that also protect you. A senator spoke out against the camera ticketing. Okay, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of us have spoken out over time over the ticketing. And then, I don't know why, but he just made my day. Joshua sent me a picture of Doug and Bob McKenzie in the Great White North from Strange Brew. Oh, yeah, hanging the beer out the window. I think it's about time that I don't know, he gets a little bit older, I'll let him watch Strange Brew. It's a classic. I mean, it's a thing. It's a coming of age, if you're a Sullivan, to watch Strange Brew. All right, and before we run to the break, so Jeff talked about, I know the boys talked about this morning, and that is Trump's speech yesterday. He says, believes abortion limits should be left to the states, a states' rights issue. He outlined his position in a video in which he declined to endorse a national ban after months of mixed messages and speculation. And it's interesting, too, that while the idea has been for a national ban, I think pragmatically pro-life people went into this discussion of saying, well, it's a states' rights issue. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court came back in the Dobbs decision and said, you know, this is something that's remanded to the states. It's not for the federal government. It's for the states. So once they finally got that victory through the Supreme Court, then people have been pushing for, of course, a national ban and not leaving it up to the states. And Trump is, I think, politically, you know, political animal that he is, holding his finger in the air for the, you know, where the populace is kind of between the rock and the hard place. It's a little bit of what he had to say yesterday.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended, Roe v. Wade. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state.
So there you go. The it's a state's rights issue, and where does this have people breaking on Trump? People that are big supporters of Trump, and there's so many evangelicals lined up behind Trump. Is this going to be? I think politically, it's not going to do much, because where would they go? Where would those votes go? Right, unless they stayed home, would those voters go? They're not going to go to Biden. So where do they go? But Trump making this case, is that enough for him to win over moderates out there? Because, listen, the abortion issue has been huge for turnout for Democrats. And I think you see Trump politically pivoting on that. But at the same time, I don't think those people, dyed in the wool people on the left are going to turn their, hearing that, they're going to turn their vote around for Trump. How many moderates out there does that mean something to? Does it change a vote? I'm interested. I'd love to hear what you have to say at 343-0106, 343-0106, and the fact that you had a Trump, he can't help it, like, precious babies. He can't even just tell you the things, like, in a precious baby. I was waiting for him to say infants. Some people call them infants. I call them babies. But there he is, precious babies. And your reaction when we come back, 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hope the rain holds off this afternoon. I did not get to ride yesterday. Looking forward to another ride on my e-bike from Adventurer Bicycles. Now I have the Magnum from Scout, but my man Clint Jameson at Adventurer Bicycles has 50 e-bikes in stock at any time. Now he's got 400 non-electric bikes in stock as well, but e-bikes, that's got my attention, and the e-bikes in stock right now. It's got deals going on this spring on Ufree. That's a manufacturer, Ufree e-bikes, also Denago e-bikes. He's got the Aventon, the Fuji. Right now, select Fuji e-bikes on sale for under $1,000. The great thing is you can kind of describe what you want to do with that e-bike. And Clint can go, okay, well, this model and this model over here and these couple, this may suit you more than this other one. Here's why. And kind of steer you towards the right e-bike for you. Like I said, it's been over a year. I've been riding the e-bike and absolutely love it. And exercise, I mean, I use it for getting around the woods. I've got plans to use it for a shuttle when we do canoe trips. You know, if you only have one vehicle and you're doing a like a canoe float, and you want to leave the takeout vehicle one place and start at the other. Use it for that. Talk to people who take them in their campers when they go for the weekend. Use it, you know, park the camper and then use those e-bikes to get around town or wherever they're going at a state park. But for me, it's also exercise. And you would say, well, you'd get more exercise, Sullivan, if you just rode a regular bike. You're right, but I wouldn't ride the regular bike. The e-bike, you can run it in all electric mode. I don't do that. There's a thing called eco mode, where it kind of kicks in when the bike's getting slow, and that could be in some soft sand or going up a hill or something like that. What it does is makes riding the bike more fun for me. So I'm pedaling, I'm riding more hours, more distance, and getting exercise, where if I had a non-e-bike, I probably wouldn't have got back into bicycling like I have here in my 50s. So check out the full selection and the advice. Clint's been doing this for decades. He and I've been, gosh, we first met 20 plus something years ago when he was into bicycles so big back then. And he's got his own shop, and he's got a great selection of bikes, plus the service work you can do on all your bikes. You buy a bike from him, they do all the tune-ups, the adjustments on those bikes. When you roll the bike out of the store, it's already put together, tuned, and you can bring it back in for service as well. Plus all the accessories you go on your bikes, helmets, panniers, water bottles, all the whole, there's so many cool things. So check them out. The corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, Adventure Earth Bicycles. They're online at adventure-earth.com. But the best thing to do, I mean, you could go to the website. I mean, I guess you could call them. But the most fun is going and seeing Clint and the gang in person at Adventure Earth Bicycles. All right, to the text line here. Let's go to first up. Well, thank you. Daniel and Foley said, great show. Love Ask the Sheriff segment, like always. Yeah, I enjoy doing that as well. Let's see. Dirt Digger, Sean, I want to know if somebody's flying a drone over your property and videoing my wife. Does not want to lay in the sun. Now feels like they're invading her privacy. Dirt Digger, I don't know where the latest on... I know what I can do. So I went through the course years ago. It was... some people that are in news here, Brad Gunther, you know, he's with WPMI. He and I and JB Buino, my buddy who's down in Tampa, we all went to the get our FCC or federal license, not FCC, our FAA license for being commercial drone operators. And we have clearance over certain areas of town that would go over your yard. So I think if you're down below a certain level, it could be harassing, Dirt Digger, but I don't have the law there. But they legally can be flying that drone and go right over your backyard. Now, there's some stipulations, depends on where the, you know, how close you are to an airport. And if somebody's flying without a license, then they're limited because of that. And there's also a ceiling. There's a lot of FAA stuff that goes into it. But, like, generally, if they're in an area that's not restricted by air traffic, they can fly over your backyard. Let's see. Sam T. said, Sean, the city council voted down the red light cameras because it would discriminate against people of color. Believe it or not, it's been brought up before. Well, that's I would say, and I'm not a fan of red light cameras, but Sam, to me, the most colorblind thing would be a red light camera, right? It's only looking for red lights. It doesn't care who you are and how you identify or any of that. Glenn says, flew Breeze last week out of Gulfport. Affordable, had a good experience. Just wish Mobile's Breeze had more locations. I think that's coming. In my conversations with Chris, I think that's coming. It's one of those things, you get it in, they fly those routes. If those routes fill up, they may add more routes, but they're always looking for, I guess they're studying, you know, where people from here want to go, and then they try to find a carrier that wants to fly those routes. But yeah, it was a fair question Adam had earlier, because I asked the same one. Why Providence, Rhode Island? Well, it's to get you into Boston. Jason said, well, thank you. Excellent hour with the sheriff. Always nice to hear his perspective. That's what I like, too, is when I have the sheriff on, or I have, you know, Chief Bryan on, or it's your chance to directly ask them questions you might have wondered about. Instead of going through some filter, you just ask the person, hey, why is this? T-Bone is starting trouble. I am not. T-Bone is sending a message here to. I may cut and paste that and send it to Dirt Digger. I'll just leave me out of y'all's issues going on with that. And so no real reaction here. I'm seeing for the Trump take on remanding, you know, staying with the states. I mean, that is what the big push in the pro-life movement was, is, you know, to overturn this and to make it a decision of the states. But now many are saying, okay, well then, but it really needs to be national. And Trump backing off of that. I mean, he talked about, of course, the IVF and a nod towards what happened here in Alabama. But he's then saying, you know, it's just the states, the big, beautiful states, they get to make the decisions. Is that going to lose him any votes come November? All right, we'll come back and talk about that. Plus, Russia has done a pretty good job, it looks like, of rebuilding the military. The big green machine continues. That and a whole lot more on the way next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 343-0106 puts you through on the text line or the phone line. And you could always send one of those talkback messages, or people are sending me emails, good old-fashioned emails on occasion. Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. I spell it the fast way, S-E-A-N, the most efficient way to spell it. There's a cool, if we have time, we'll get to this. If not, I'll put it up on X, or on Twitter. Axios story. And why do I think it's cool? Because it's just reinforcing my beliefs. You know, like when you see a story, like, yeah, that's right, because it's what you think. And then you see a story about it, and you say, well, this one is good. The Axios headline is Behind the Curtain, America's Reality Distortion Machine. It's one of those where they go through and do some survey work, how often we're told, and I'm in the media, it's too funny when people are in the media, they go, you know, the media, well, I'm in the media too, so, but there's a bunch of different opinions in the media. I'm a commentator, not a journalist, if you hadn't figured out, but I can journal if I need to. The splits they say we have, Americans have, you know, by race or income or geography, like, are there some truths to that? Sure. But if you get most, you know, you hear these things that get laid out, like Americans are at each other's throats, and you're like, wait a second, like I work and go to school and go to church with people who look all kind of different ways, and we're all pretty cool. What do y'all talk about? Well, there's one of these studies out there saying maybe it's not, you know, when you watch what goes on social media, it's a reflection of magnification. Mountains out of molehills for a smaller number of people that make people think, well, everybody thinks that way. Well, maybe they don't. But if we have time, we'll get to that. But first, because this also reinforces things I've said. It's another self-serving story, but it's true. And, you know, we just heard the national news story there about funding bill for Ukraine. And I'm in this weird place where I think it's okay for Ukraine to defend itself. And even early on, providing assistance for Ukraine. You know, I know there's been this new hip thing in conservatism to, like, be against Ukraine and for Russia. I'm a child of the 80s. I can't be for Russia. I can ask critical questions of Ukraine and how much money we give them. And when we say enough is enough. But the thing I've pointed out since early on, and I always would go back to the Battle of Stalingrad, when the big green machine, the Russian army, would just continue to throw bodies at it until they could. I mean, the Nazis there were better trained, better equipped in Stalingrad, right? But the Russians had the people. They could continue to send them. And you can go back to Russians of the czars, let alone to the communist days. They just will throw bodies at something that many other countries would not do. And that's why I looked at this fight against Ukraine. I'm like, if you're not going to beat them on a straight battlefield, because they'll just keep reinforcing. Well, look at this story from defensenews.com, one of those nerdy sites I look at. A headline here, Russian military almost completely reconstituted, according to U.S. officials. Now, you're talking about the depletion. Remember, they had to get stuff from North Korea and get stuff from Iran, and they're doing X, Y, and Z to put things back together. And where are they going to get the people from? And the people are leaving, and they're conscripting. Story says Russia has rebuilt its military after suffering enormous losses during the invasion of Ukraine. This from a U.S. State Department official. Says Deputy Secretary of State Kurt Campbell said at an event hosted by the Center for New American Security, said, we have assessed over the course of the last couple of months that Russia is almost completely reconstituted militarily, end quote. Campbell's assessment seems to contradict those of the Pentagon's and America's allies in Europe. After a meeting of countries that support Ukraine late last month, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said that Russia had suffered more than 315,000 casualties during the war. With the drop in American aid leading to ammunition shortages on Ukraine's front lines, Russian forces have advanced, but those too have been costly, according to the Pentagon. both things I think are true here, right? I mean, that's the thing. I believe they've lost 315,000 casualties from injuries or killed in action. But that's nothing for the Russians. And not that it's nothing. I mean, give you an idea. So World War II. And it depends. There's some arguments back and forth and who they include in these numbers, how many are civilians, how many. But like 7 million or 8 million Russian army soldiers died in World War II. Did you picture that? So many casualties in World War II. It's unbelievable numbers. And you look at this and go, well, they've lost 315,000. Most other countries would go, oh, you know, of course that would be, they would stop. They would rethink that. The Russians don't. The Russians don't. And now they've reconstituted their military. In other words, conscription. And yes, are they all highly trained soldiers? No. But they don't care. They keep, this is the question about Ukraine I have. Unless, if we're going to, eventually, Ukraine, I mean, this is such a macabre discussion, but eventually Ukraine is going to run out of Ukrainians to hold guns. So I've asked the whole time, can we figure out a peace solution? Give them, let them have, keep Crimea, let them have some of the Donbass. Let's at least move this down the road, because this day in and day out warfare, eventually, you can have these great successes and the Ukrainians are fighting bravely. I get it. If that's my home and my village, I got tar on my heels too. And I'm fighting like a demon. But eventually, they just keep sending more Russians in. Where does this end? Does it end that finally Russia goes, you showed us, we're leaving? Okay, if you don't believe that's happened, then what? Then what? So yeah, the takeaway from the story is that if you thought, well, it would have Russia so knocked back militarily that they would reduce operations or try to, you know, find a peace or whatever. They've reconstituted their military now. It says in the story from DefenseNews.com, still Moscow surged defense spending since 2022, up 6% of the national GDP in its 2024 budget. The rise is partly a larger effort by the Kremlin to move its economy, in particular its defense industry, onto a wartime footing. Part of its success comes from China's support, along with that from North Korea and Iran. Both Campbell and other senior administration officials speaking with reporters on the condition of anonymity, which they all do, said that China has helped its partner endure economic and military setbacks in the last 2 years. So, got Xi Jinping, right, like giving munitions and money to Russia. Well, what they're doing is they're buying Russian oil very cheap. That's how they're giving. Russia has ends up, you know, could end up out of this being a vassal state of China as its, you know, its petro supplier. But the human beings, they've got, they conscript and they continue to throw them in there. And so while this is kind of a, you know, by itself story that Russia has almost completely reconstituted its military, I think it brings up the bigger question is, how do you, unless there's regime change in Russia, and even if there's regime change in Russia, the idea that the next person's going to say, well, no, we don't need to fight with Ukraine, I don't know that's true. But the Russians will, there will be no more Ukrainians to hold the guns, and there will still be Russians. All right. Now, from the text line here, Fire Dog says, you're not a journalist? I'm shocked. Just shocked and disappointed. Get out there and do some drone journalism or something. I'll get on it, Fire Dog. Okay, this is actually good point. So this is fair. Somebody's contrary here said, look at what happened with Russia and Afghanistan. Okay, fair enough. But there weren't lines in Afghanistan like there are in Ukraine, right? There's not a Donbass in Afghanistan. It's guerrilla warfare. Now, guerrilla warfare, I mean, have you noticed the Afghans have had a pretty good success there? I don't know how they constituted their fight against Alexander the Great, but they've been winning in those mountains for a long time. But it's a different kind of warfare versus lining up. What we're talking about is European warfare, right? That is lined up to trenches. It's still trenches being dug there. Trench warfare, the green machine of the Russian army. Unless you can teach me something that I don't know here on it, doesn't give up. They just throw people at it. You know, you could have flooded all of Afghanistan. The Russians could have flooded all of Afghanistan, where, by the way, you know, the Mujahideen, right, had weapons we supplied them to fight in a proxy battle against the Russians, right, like we are doing with Ukraine. The guerrilla warfare, it doesn't, you could load, you know, every Russian soldier in there, and you still can't win a guerrilla warfare the same way. But in Ukraine, we're not talking about that. We're talking about like a good old-fashioned European trench warfare. You're on this side, I'm on that side. We're going to shell you. You're going to shell us, right? We're going to push in here. We're going to find a weakness, try to break through a line. We're going to try to hold this city. You're going to try to retake this city. I mean, it's, I don't, and once again, I've seen the stories, watched stories online, and Ukrainians are, I mean, and absolutely they would. You'd do the same thing in your own country. You'd have a lot of tar on your heels and you'd fight like a demon. But eventually there's not going to be anybody left to do the fighting. So that's what I don't know why there's not more, I do know, but cynically, but in my Pollyanna side, which I like to embrace sometimes too, I don't know why there's not more done to find a peace. I want Ukrainians to be Ukrainians, but the idea that Russia's going to say, well, you showed us and turn around and go home, that's not going to happen. Let's see here. CB Carl, good to see you the other day, CB Carl. Glad you came out when I was out at Parrish Tractor. Good to see you. Said, I think we shouldn't send any more money to Ukraine until we find out what comes out of the Panama Files trial. Well, when are we having that? I'm waiting for that. And then, how about this Auburn news just coming out here over the last hour or two? I don't know if this makes a difference to you, but the dollars are interesting. Auburn is now not going to be doing Under Armour. They're now Nike. Weren't they Nike at one point? I just started looking. So they're changing their contract for athletic apparel. And the money seems pretty darn good. I wonder if Nike or Under Armour want to outfit us here at FM Talk. I'm ready for negotiations. I'll give you some of those numbers when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Heads up, my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales has got incentives. Finally, right, after the years of supply chain issues and, you know, not really being able to get boats very quickly, the manufacturers weren't offering incentives. Those things have changed around. That means good news for us because the incentives are back out. And they're running this spring. They were going to end at the end of March. These are still on for April. So this is good news. Brands like Regulator, Jupiter, Solace, Albemarle, Bulls Bay, the bay boats from them. All these are on sale now with these incentives, and this continues here into the month of April. So you want to get the deal on your next boat, check them out now. This is I know it sounds like cliche. This is the time to do it, but this is the time to do it because the incentives will run out to probably, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but they're on right now. How about that? And Forrest says you want to take advantage of them. You need to do it now. You can see the boats in person. That's the most fun thing to do at Blue Water Yacht Sales on the 65 Beltline or their location at Orange Beach Marina. Online, bluewateryachtsales.net. You can check them out there as well. And a quick reminder, too, they do brokerage. If you're thinking about one of these new boats, taking advantage of the incentives, you want to sell your current boat, you know, your high-end used boat, you want to get a top dollar there, talk to them about brokerage on that boat. And if you're like me working on the boat you got, the service department, fantastic there. If they do the work, they've got the Yamaha MasterTech on staff. They've got a 5-star rating for their service, but they also have all kind of parts and products for you if you do your own work as well. It's my buddy Forrest over at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. Check them out. All right, we'll do this backwards here. All right. So this texture said, Russia quit. I don't know what that last one said, but you said there's also guerrilla warfare against the Russians in Ukraine. They now may not be hiding as much as the Afghans that I fought against, but they are improvising in the fighting. Please, God, keep this country from staying involved with Ukraine, or maybe getting involved with Ukraine. I second it, and thank you for your service. As I read between the lines there, I appreciate you and all your other veterans that served our country. That yes, there is some guerrilla fighting going on, but it, you know, there's at least because that makes it sound like it's good. But there's a front line, right? That the Russian war machine understands. There's a front line. There's where you pound with artillery. There's where you go into. There's where you attempt to break through. And so that's the, I think in that kind of war, a land war, that kind of war, I mean, I didn't graduate from West Point with it, you know, but I'm a student of history. I don't know how Ukraine ever wins that war. I mean, how, just the numbers. How do you, it's a war of attrition. How do you ever win that war? Jerry in Fort Morgan, always, you know, undecided here, says, unfortunately, nobody is fighting like that for the United States citizens held hostage by the animals in Gaza. Yeah, but the different, but I, you know, what I understand the Ukrainians, like, and I don't know the ratio. You could say like one Ukrainian might fight as hard as two Russians or three Russians because their town is right there. Their people are there, right? You get tar on your heels when that happens. But they got 3-1 on you. They got 4-1 on you. Michael says, I see the difference in Ukraine and Afghanistan as Afghanis wanting to fight. While it's been getting close to Ukrainians not wanting to fight, I've seen. Can you imagine morale on Ukrainian lines? It's got to be tough. He said, I've seen videos of conscripted men with Down syndrome forced to fight. Well, so I keep wondering where's the off ramp? I mean, some sort of peace, because I mean, I don't know that even if there is a regime change. I think you have a chance of that next regime change keeping up the war against Ukraine. I really do. I don't see it changing. The story I mentioned about Auburn. So this is kind of a sports story, but I focus in on the money here. It said, so the headline is that they've made the shift here. Auburn Athletic, this is from Ansley Lee over at AL.com. Auburn Athletics officially announces new partnership with Nike. Here are a few of the details, and it goes through and talks about that. They were with Under Armour. Now they're going with Nike. It says, as of today's news, it seems like Nike and its famous swoosh will be branding one over athletic director John Cohen. As a bunch of them talking. Okay. Cohen revealed in his statement that Auburn would be entering into a 10-year agreement with Nike. It says, we believe that our 10-year agreement beginning in July of 2025 will continue to elevate Auburn and best serve our student athletes and blah, 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 blah. Here's the money. Cohen also asserted that he and other decision makers weighed the opinions of Auburn athletes in the move. I'm sure they did. And then here we go. The last paragraph. Talk about burying the lead. News of the approaching partnership with Nike marks the end of Auburn's 18-year marriage with Under Armour. The first two entered into a partnership in 2006 that lasted a 9-year extension in 2015. A $78 million deal that featured stock in the company. So Auburn gets stock in Under Armour for, wow. So there you go. So if $78 million was what they did before with Under Armour, what do you think they're getting paid by Nike in this thing? So once again, Nike, if you're interested, Under Armour, anybody, if you're interested, where you could be the official athletic gear outfitter here, at FM Talk 106.5, we'll sign up. But that's a big money. It's got to be. I mean, if it's $78 million was the old contract, I don't. Anybody know what it is? Of course, Maximus, my buddy, says different sportswear, same crappy team. Roll Tide, roll. Put you down as undecided. Listen, I had myself fooled the other night, Maximus, early in the game when you know we're playing Drago and the UConn Huskies. What's his name? The 7'2" guy, whatever it looks like. A little bit like Drago. It's like, man, we can win this. We might be able to make this happen. And then, although I think they beat Purdue, was it by fewer points last night? Or more points than they beat Alabama? I remember hearing the score this morning when Dalton was doing sports. I said, that's about what they beat. And of course, it being a Bammer and a fan, not trying to be, no critical thinking here, just being a fan. I said, oh, I tell you what. So that means that we could have beaten them. We should have been in the position. Purdue was, you know, I did that stupid stuff in my head. Here we go. All right. Okay, thank you, Dalton. Bama lost by 14. Purdue lost by 15. See, Dalton on the. So there you go. See, so it should have been Bama in the position that, like, Bama didn't lose by as much as Purdue. So that there we go. So thank you, Dalton. Bama lost by 14, Purdue lost by 15. So it really truly should have been Bama in the position to have matriculated up and not had to play UConn until the final game. See where my logic is on that? Y'all call in Feinbaum. Tell him I said that. All right, be back and doing it again tomorrow for the Wednesday edition. Got Erica Thomas joining us tomorrow, Cameron Smith, and a whole lot more. And then, by the way, Friday we're on the road. Hey, Theodore, come see us. We're going to be at Mahindra Tractor on Friday. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show. Y'all have a great one.